There's a saying among grifters. If you're playing cards and you don't know who the sucker at the table is, it's you. Bianca St. Ives was struck too late by those wise words as she fled up the ancient stone steps in the dark, dank, crooked stairwell as though her life depended on it, which it did. Her heart galloped from her headlong race to escape before what gave every sign of being a trap snapped shut around her. Her head spun from the horrifying discovery, made exactly 2 minutes and 26 seconds before, that she and the quartet of world-class criminals she was attempting to commit the robbery of a lifetime with were quite possibly the suckers at this particular table. "I'm not going down like this." The mere thought of it sent what felt like an icy finger sliding along her spine. Shimmying open the lock on the heavy metal security door at the top of Bahrain's Gudabia Palace's cellar stairs with a practiced jiggle of the pick she carried, she reached through the deliberately provocative slit in her tulle-over-silk skirt to clip the pick back into place high on her thigh. Then she pulled the door open, cast a quick look around, and stepped out of the gray gloom of the stairwell into the dimly lit hallway. The musty smell was replaced by the scents of roasting meat and heavy spice. Of course, the large industrial kitchen was located directly to her left, on the other side of the wall. No one around. Twitching the nuisancey train of her shoulder-bearing black evening gown out of the way, she carefully eased the door shut. Then she started walking fast, but not so fast that it would raise suspicions if somebody happened to catch a glimpse of her. Given the high-profile nature of the black tie event she was attempting to rejoin, and the proliferation of security guards as well as nearly undetectable surveillance cameras, it was impossible to be completely certain that there were no watchers in this staff-only area, no matter how careful she was. The rapid click-click of her elegant stilettos on the marble floor made her wince. The sound seemed preternaturally loud in the high-ceilinged, narrow space, but what could she do? Tiptoeing was a non-starter. As in everything in life, projecting confidence was the key to success, even while running for her life. No, especially while running for her life. She was still finding it almost impossible to wrap her head around what had happened. The 200 million in cash their crackerjack gang had joined forces to steal was already gone when she got the vault open. One disbelieving glance inside the steel-walled underground chamber, and it had become staggeringly obvious that they had a disaster on their hands. The vault was empty. The mountain of bright orange money bags, each of which held $100,000 in untraceable U.S. dollars, that had been inside it as recently as 6 hours prior, was simply not there anymore. Could anybody say, "Holy freaking screw-up?" Thump. The sound heralded the sudden opening of a swinging door a few yards in front of her. It was all she could do not to jump with alarm as a man unexpectedly emerged from the kitchen. He checked at the sight of her.
"Kya apki mudad kar sakata hun?"
he said as the door swung shut behind him. Bianca just managed to keep walking toward him as her brain automatically adjusted to the language, which was one she was semi-fluent in. "Can I help you?" was what he'd asked her in Urdu. Okay, not exactly threatening, despite the frowning look he was giving her. Short and compact, he wore traditional Arab garb. His long, grizzled beard was bound into a neat spike with rubber bands. From his language, which was not that of the Bahraini upper class, and the fact that he was there in the restricted area where outsiders were absolutely not permitted, she concluded that he was most probably part of the regular palace security staff. Thank God he didn't catch me coming through the door from the cellars, she thought, even as she shook her head as though she didn't understand. Urdu was not a language that her alter ego would be expected to know. Doing her best to look both apologetic and clueless, she said in English, "I'm looking for the ladies' room." Fortunately for her, men rarely suspected attractive young women of anything nefarious. His eyes slid over her once more, this time with barely veiled appreciation. Then he gestured toward the gilded, arched double doors that had been her goal all along.
"Go back into the ballroom. There's a ladies'..."